Hey folks, have you heard of cancer-fighting foods? The American Cancer Society discovered diets rich in fruits and vegetables may actually lower your risk of cancer. Think about that for a second. That's really important. Hopefully you hear this and run to the store for 5 servings of fruits and vegetables every day. But if you're like me, you probably don't have the time to do that, right? So maybe you should consider adding Field of Greens to your daily health regimen. Each fruit and veggie in Field of Greens was doctor selected for studied health benefits. There's a heart health group, lungs, kidneys, and metabolism groups, even healthy weight. What your body needs is in each scoop of delicious Field of Greens. I take it every day. Sometimes I put it in a shake. Sometimes I put it in my egg white omelet in the morning. Field of Greens can help prevent, treat, and cure cancer? No, but it can powerfully help you out at your next checkup. Your doctor will notice your improved health or you're going to get your money back. Here's the most amazing thing about it. I started using Field of Greens a year ago. My cholesterol is down, my blood sugar is down, my weight's down, my health is up, my sleeping patterns are better, my metabolism is up. If you want to experience what I've experienced, go check out Field of Greens. Jump into the ring here. You're going to get an enormous benefit. And it's so simple. Single scoop, a couple of seconds, healthy lifestyle all day long. Now, thanks to our good friends at Brickhouse Nutrition, Field of Greens is going to give you a 15% off discount plus free rush shipping. All you got to do is go to fieldofgreens.com and use the promo code JUSTNEWS for your discount. That's promo code JUSTNEWS at fieldofgreens.com. Fieldofgreens.com, promo code JUSTNEWS. Go check it out. Hello, America, and happy Monday. A lot going on today, even though it's heading into a holiday week. A lot of breaking news stories. Let me get you up to speed quickly, and then we'll get you onto the roster of great guests that we have today. We're going to talk a little bit of Second Amendment today, talk a little bit about Hispanic outreach, and talk a whole lot about free speech, which is increasingly under significant attack right now. First up, there is a major reduction of President Trump's civil fraud case bond. The New York Appeals Court today reduced it from the $464 million that Judge Enjeron tried to impose down to $175 million, also gave the president, former president, 10 days to try to make that money and put it together. That's a significant win for the president and a warning sign, I think, for both Letitia James and Judge Enjeron that perhaps the court may have overstepped itself. Normally, you put bond up in the amount that you think the ultimate penalty will be. Reducing it by almost 2/3 is a sign that perhaps the court thinks the trial court went over the limit. There's a lot more going on in America on terror concerns. I want to point out something that, as we now know, the horrible attack on that Moscow concert hall, it was carried out by ISIS-K. ISIS-K took the credit. The United States had given Russia a warning that maybe ISIS-K would be striking soon. Both the head of the House Foreign Affairs Committee, Mike McCaul, and the head of the, or and Senator Marco Rubio, key member of the Senate Intelligence Committee, both said that ISIS-K could strike here in the United States. McCaul said, hey, it's like we're back to the old playbook where history repeats itself. And that's why the fall of Afghanistan, the way it was done, the way we left it, with no intelligence and surveillance capabilities, no reconnaissance, it puts us in danger where there is a new battleground, training ground now for ISIS. How about that? Another consequence of Joe Biden's bungled withdrawal. Similarly, Senator Marco Rubio said the FBI director, Chris Wray, directly confirmed to him that there's a trafficking network that exists that's smuggling illegal aliens with ties to the Islamic State, ISIS-K, into the United States, raising the threat of a Moscow-style attack here. And we told you it was just a matter of time that the Afghanistan withdrawal and the open borders would catch up to us. The concern now is that time now? It certainly feels like there's some pretty significant concerns in that venue today. So that's another really important piece of the puzzle. And then overnight, my good colleague Stephen Richards and I had a really fun story. One of the things, as we know, Michael Cohen is supposed to be Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg's star witness in the criminal case against Donald Trump over the hush money. A lot of people think that case is overblown, maybe not even legal. But if Michael Cohen is going to be the star witness, first off, he has been convicted of perjury. Second of all, just a week ago, a federal judge said he may have perjured himself again. So lying multiple times, not exactly the credibility that you need for a case or star witness in the case if you're prosecutors. But the most important thing, and we put all these into public in the last 24 hours, Michael Cohen is going to have to reconcile in front of the court his own words years ago to his lawyer saying that Donald Trump didn't do anything wrong. He exonerated him. He said, I don't know of any wrongdoing. He said he took the loan out himself to pay Stormy Daniels. And all of those documents we made public overnight. The reason we can do that is that his old lawyer, Bob Costello, had his attorney-client privilege waived. They waived the privilege a few years ago, and that allows folks to look at these documents. There's some of the documents that the federal prosecutors looked at. Now Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg's going to have to look at them. These are really significant. When you take a look at contemporaneously, Michael Cohen, when he had every reason to incriminate, Donald Trump said he had nothing. Let me read you one of them. We asked him at the hotel. This is the lawyer's writing. We said, let's talk about your options. Do you have any info on Trump? A get out of jail free card. But he said he didn't have, Cohen said he didn't have anything on him. Nothing. Those sort of comments appear over and over again in the emails and privileged documents that were once privileged documents, now unprivileged documents that existed. That is sitting in the documents. That's one of many statements like that. Here's another one relating the HELOC, the home equity loan or the home equity line of credit. Michael Cohen took it out. He told Costello that Trump did not provide him the funds and indicated Trump had no prior knowledge that he was taking out the loan to pay Stormy Daniels hush money. He said, I didn't believe the information, but I knew that this was a situation that would cause embarrassment. So I negotiated with this lawyer and we worked out an NDA, non-disclosure agreement for the payment of $130. In other words, Michael Cohen did this on his own, according to the account he gave his own lawyer, Bob Costello. That's a really important story. Take a look at it today. A lot of people are reading that story. It's the number one story on the site. The headline is, once privileged legal memos create new credibility crisis for Trump fixer Michael Cohen. All right, today we've got a great, great lineup for you. I'm really kind of excited about it. First up, Mike Benton is the founder and executive director of the Foundation for Freedom Online. He is the guy more than any others. In fact, the New York Times highlighted him last week. He's the guy more than any other that has highlighted the infringements of free speech, the government's effort to silence or to censor or to pressure others to censor Americans' political speech. We're going to talk about the state of play in this about a year and a half ago, since we first learned the breadth and depth of censorship that was going on in America. That's going to be a really fun one. In the second block, Aidan Johnston, the director of Federal Affairs for Gun Owners of America, so the chief lobbyist for one of the great Second Amendment groups, Gun Owners of America. He's going to bring us up to speed on a couple of rulings that occurred. One of them, a ruling last week, a federal judge ruled that illegal immigrants have gun rights protected by the Second Amendment. A lot of people concerned about that ruling. We'll get Johnston to weigh in on that. And there is a strong effort to roll back what's known as the veteran gun ban, a policy that hampered veterans from potentially owning guns. Aidan Johnston going to bring us up to speed on that. And in the final block, Alfonso Aguilar is going to join us. He is one of the most important voices in Latino America, in Latino politics. He's going to bring us up to speed on why so many Hispanic voters say they're gravitating away from the Democratic Party and toward Donald Trump. It's showing up in all the polls. It's a very serious phenomenon. Alfonso is going to bring us up to speed on what exactly are the issues. What's moving those dynamic? What is causing that dynamic, moving the voters in that direction? Those are pretty important tectonic shifts in the plates below the American political landscape. So Alfonso will bring us up to that. So Mike Benz, Alfonso Aguilar, Aidan Johnston, a really great lineup time. Really kind of excited. We're going to talk about politics, talk about the Second Amendment, talk about free speech, which, by the way, all of those are at the top of mind for so many Americans today. Really excited about that. Before we go to commercial break, as you know, we have so many very important partners, sponsors, advertisers, people who make this show, make the television show, make justthenews.com possible. All of them are amazing players. And one of them is the Alliance for Defending Freedom. And as you know, they're fighting two very important Supreme Court cases, one helping the state of Idaho uphold its abortion law, the other suing the FDA for endangering the health and safety of women and girls. These are historic cases. They're going to set very important legal precedent for religious liberty, personal liberty, privacy. And if you want to support ADF in fighting these critical Supreme Court cases to make a better stand against government lawlessness and to help defund our cherished freedoms, which is what's going on, right? There's a lot of defunding and pressure on our freedoms. ADF is trying to fight those. All you got to do to say thanks or to get in the game or to try to help ADF is to go to adf.com/John. That's adf.com/John. And that's for my name, John, J-O-H-N. And you'll be able to support what they're doing if you feel inspired to do so. Again, our liberties are under extraordinary assault. Truth is under extraordinary assault, as you're going to hear from Mike Benz later today. If you want to support ADF, please go check them out today. Give them anything at $5, $10, $25, $100, whatever you can afford. It will make a big, big difference. All right, folks, we'll be right back right after these messages with Mike Benz, the head of the Foundation for Freedom Online, right after these messages.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about all from the comfort of your home isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Our next guest has been on the forefront of exposing all of the efforts to censor or to outsource censorship that is infringing our free speech. He is the head and founder of the Foundation for Freedom Online. He's our good friend, Mike Benz. By the way, shouted out in the New York Times. You were credited in the New York Times, Mike Benz. I guess the left is understanding. You've had some impact.
So are you, John and Amanda. You know, they mentioned me 24 times, but they really described my rise in winning successfully on a bunch of fronts in the free speech issue is actually starting with just the news, producing the blockbuster coverage that kickstarted so much of congressional oversight and hearings and really mass awareness of how deep the government censorship scandal here goes.
Yeah, well, congratulations. No doubt.
How did we get here, Mike? How did we get to a place in America where the First Amendment, something that was so important to our founding fathers that it was the very first item, the very first right for Americans? How did we get to a place where in the top court in the land, the Supreme Court, you have a justice who acts like it is a speed bump or a roadblock on the way to government power?
Yeah, well, it's because the government's role in censorship has metastasized so fast and so extensively, you know, into the brain and lungs of the government's functioning, that to unwind it now is effectively seen as changing core aspects of government business. You see, after the 2016 election, the U.S. federal government, in cahoots with a cabal of foreign policy establishment stakeholders and financial and commercial interests on the outside, came up with this idea of a so-called whole of society, whole of government censorship network. Now, they didn't call it a censorship network. They called it the whole of society counter mis, dis, and malinformation alliance. But they don't mean countering it through speech. They mean countering it through censorship and taking down opposing speech because they couldn't compete in a free and open market of ideas for it. So this idea of the government quarterbacking a whole of society censorship alliance that spans the private sector, the civil society institutions like the universities, NGOs, and media allies, including government-funded fact-checking organizations, has become so well-worn that even in government meetings, they will apologize amongst themselves for using the phrase whole of society because they say it so much like a mantra. Even within the government, they're kind of sick of saying it. But that remains the facts on the ground, which is to say that virtually every government agency at this point, DHS, FBI, State Department, Pentagon, National Science Foundation, HHS, CDC, even the FDA, all have censorship offices within the government that play a coordinating role to tell the social media platforms what to do, what to take down, what speech policies to enact or get rid of, to fund the civil society organizations to act as censorship mercenary firms. There's over 60 U.S. universities that get government funding to do censorship work, as well as hundreds of NGOs and nonprofits. Then there's the fact-checking arm in the media media literacy program where the government pays media organizations in order to pump up their profits so that they can compete with alternative news online. It really is a kind of nation/globe-spanning government censorship enterprise, which they saw as being, you know, totally necessary to save the rules-based international order. Remember, all this really started with Donald Trump's election in 2016 and the Brexit vote across the ocean, and this idea that NATO was going to come undone because people were simply going to vote for populist parties who opposed the foreign policy establishment. So they thought the EU would come undone and NATO would come undone, so there'd be no enforcement arm for international creditors like the IMF or the World Bank. From their perspective, from the halls of the Pentagon and the State Department and the CIA, as well as the Chamber of Commerce companies on the outside who depend on the battering ram of our national security state in order to pry open markets for them, it was an end of the world kind of thing that that only the government could quarterback. You know, Stanford Internet Observatory can't knock on the door of Facebook with the clout to tell them what to do, can't knock on the door of the New York Times, tell them what to do, but the government can.
That's pretty amazing. Mike, I think you did something really important for the country on Wednesday. You put this extraordinary list out. We wrote a story about it today. One of the things that gets lost in the legal arguments and the back and forth and the alphabet soup is something that you preach every day. The United States government not only censored information, they censored true and accurate stories. They actually prevented truth from coming out. You came up with a Dirty Dozen list or a top 10 list. How important is it to know that not only did we censor, which we're not supposed to do, but it was actually truth that was censored?
Oh, and they knew it was true, too. In fact, what was really amazing is when you trace the chronology of the evolution of the censorship industry, you know, it started with disinformation in 2017. Actually, it started right after, you know, Crimea in 2014 with this disinformation term. That was always a military term to describe enemy propaganda. You know, disinformation was not the sort of thing that a government would say its own citizens do. We would just call that ordinary course, First Amendment protected discourse. But what so they started with, you know, Russian disinformation using this kind of national security predicate in 2017. But by 2018, it became very evident that the Russiagate predicate could only go so far. So they rolled out and expanded it to misinformation and disinformation, and saying, well, misinformation, even if it's not a lie, but you make an innocent mistake, that too is a threat to democracy. But then they quickly found that they were having a real problem. See, at the time, they were still using this fact checker method for flagging. And they had a problem, which is that a lot of the things that the government was trying to get the social media platforms to censor and government cutouts like the NGOs and civil society firms that the government paid were having trouble getting the platforms to take down enough misinformation because the fact checkers couldn't prove that half of what they were trying to take down was actually false. So they created a new category in late 2018, early 2019 called malinformation. And this is basically what the lion's share of internet censorship now comprises. Malinformation is the idea that even if something is true, if it ultimately leads people to a conclusion that undermines public faith and confidence in a critical government initiative or undermines public faith and confidence in democratic institutions like the mainstream media, then that by itself is essentially the same thing as mis and disinformation and should be treated as such by the platforms. This is a very, very dirty trick that basically operates the way a con game does. You know, a con game's, the con there stands for confidence. And what they're doing is they're saying it undermines confidence when people are able to articulate true statements. In fact, one of the things that Just the News helped helped Foundation for Freedom Online break, if you recall, about almost a year and a half ago now, was a DHS cybersecurity video, you know, from the CISA subagency, which said it was doing cybersecurity, but was in fact doing cyber censorship. An obscure little DHS cybersecurity agency put out a 6-minute YouTube video instructing a young cartoon protagonist named Susan to report her own Uncle Steve for disinformation on Facebook because Uncle Steve cited true CDC data to make the argument that COVID was no more fatal than the flu. So they were not arguing that Uncle Steve was wrong. He was citing CDC data, but it was a malinformation because it had the effect of undermining public faith and confidence in the severity of the COVID pandemic. And they did this all over. They did this for mail-in ballots. They said, even if a trove of unmarked ballots or ballot trafficking operations were going on. Simply to report on it would undermine public faith and confidence in the use of mail-in ballots for the 2020 election. So it was censored under a government-coerced terms of service violation policy called delegitimization, which meant anything true about election fraud, anything true about the unreliability of mail-in ballots, anything true about scandals with early voting drop boxes, anything true about ballot tabulation issues on election day was still a terms of service violation, was still banned. And again, the government coerced this this terms of service policy change through the Election Integrity Partnership, which was set up in partnership with DHS, was all deemed to be mis-dis malinformation because they lumped those three categories together. They laundered it, basically.
Yeah. I'm glad you brought up the election aspect because, as Donald Trump highlighted this morning, in 2016, I truly don't think that they expected him to win. But in 2020, you know, the uniparty, the swamp, the deep state, the blob, as you call it, whatever, came roaring back in 2020. If Donald Trump wants to win the election in November, what does he need to do to fight back against that?
Well, I think the phrase that he's been kicking around is too big to rig, you know, has to win by such a large margin that it has to overcome, you know, the inevitable rigging for the hometown team here. I mean, this is essentially what incumbent talented boxers have to overcome when they challenge, you know, the heavyweight champion in front of a hometown crowd with knowing that the pay-per-view champion is going to be protected by the boxing organization and the boxing judges. You have to win by knockout because if it goes to points, no matter how badly you beat the guy or knock him down, the judges are going to rig it in favor of the preferred candidate. I think that we saw that in 2020 through the use of the social media censorship cutouts like EIP, as well as others. And I think that we're going to be seeing that in a huge way in 2024. You know, the nice thing is we've had a lot of victories in the past 18 months. And so, you know, we're not defenseless here.
Folks, don't go anywhere. Aidan Johnston, Director of Federal Affairs for the Gun Owners of America. Some very important Second Amendment developments. We'll have those right after these messages.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
All right, folks, welcome back for the commercial break. A lot of big wins for the Second Amendment over the last year or two. Certainly the rise of constitutional carry. It's now a majority of the American states that allow constitutional carry of guns. That has become a remarkable rallying cry. And by the way, really fast to see a movement spread that quickly. But also there are big rulings in the courts and Congress, particularly with the Republican House, beginning to create some successes for gun rights in legislation as well. We've got the perfect next guest to bring us through that. Aidan Johnston is the Director of Federal Affairs for that great Second Amendment institution, Gun Owners of America. Aidan, great to have you on the show.
Hey, thanks for having me on. It's great to be here.
Yeah, this is really exciting. Let's start with one I know that Gun Owners of America has been working on for quite some time. Congress is poised to roll back a policy known as the veteran gun ban. This is something the Biden administration is not too keen to do, but I think Congress has the votes. First of all, just tell people what this veteran gun ban is. I think a lot of people didn't know it existed.
Well, this is something that's been going on since the Clinton administration. And when they created the background check system, they said, okay, who can we throw in there? Who can we prohibit from owning firearms? And the bureaucrats over at the VA said, hey, we got a bunch of veterans. Why don't we disarm them? Well, why did they pick those veterans? Those veterans had fiduciaries, the financial advisors, to help them with their benefits, and the bureaucrats wanted to treat them as if they were what's called mental defectives, which is this outdated legal term for people who are too insane to stand trial or who've been committed to a mental institution involuntarily. And they said, okay, we're going to disarm these veterans. And as of today, there are 261,000 veterans that are prohibited from owning guns because of this Clinton-era gun ban.
Wow, that's amazing. And the status of the legislation in the House, it could sneak through pretty soon, right?
Oh, actually, so this got done about 2 weeks ago. It's just crazy. We forced Joe Biden to sign a pro-gun law a couple of weekends ago.
It was in the omnibus, right?
It was in the omnibus, and I think that there are a lot of problems with that omnibus. There's problems with the omnibus they released today. But we were able to sneak this pro-gun victory into there, and a bunch of Democrats voted no on the omnibus, even though they love government spending, because it was so pro-gun, this particular provision. And so, actually, just this past week, we got confirmation from the Secretary of Veterans Affairs. It's the first week in decades that they have not sent the names of veterans over to the FBI to have their firearms taken away. So this is a huge victory. We're already seeing the results from that. And we just could not be more excited.
Yeah, that's a big deal. There's no doubt about it. Some other big things, obviously, Gun Owners America fighting some enormous wins in courts, both at the federal and the state level. One of those is in Pennsylvania, where I think it was just Friday, just a few days ago, that you filed Gun Owners America filed a petition to allow appeal with the Supreme Court of Pennsylvania in their challenge to the city of Philadelphia's ban on homemade firearms. This has been a big ongoing battle in Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania is actually a very Second Amendment state when you think of its citizens, maybe not its governors, but its citizens. This is a very important gun battle at the state level, correct?
Absolutely. So I mean, what we're talking about here is your right to manufacture a firearm at home. People have been doing this since the founding of our nation. They've been going chopping down a tree, carving up a stock for a musket. And here in the modern era, people are able to make firearms with 3D printers or just by going to the Home Depot and, you know, buying the right tools and using the right machines. And this is totally acceptable. This is protected by the Second Amendment. Your right to keep and bear arms doesn't mean very much if you can't make or acquire a firearm for home ownership. And this is exactly what the city of Philadelphia wants to prohibit. And so we've been suing on behalf of the right to manufacture a firearm for private use. And, you know, we're going to keep defending the Second Amendment and that right as much as it takes. And if we have to go to the Pennsylvania Supreme Court, we're more than happy to do that for our members.
Yeah, very, very important. Another thing that you've personally worked on, I think it's important. I don't think a lot of people know this, but the CDC, which is supposed to protect us from diseases like the pandemic and other things, has a lot of research that they're putting on related to gun injuries, gun violence, and a lot of it's been used to then be weaponized in the debate over gun control in America. There's work by Mary Miller Meeks, right, to basically stamp out funding for any CDC studies aimed at this. Where does that stand and why is that important?
Well, in November, the Mary Miller Meeks Amendment got a vote, and they said, we do not want to fund anti-gun research, and that passed the House of Representatives. Now, what kind of research is that? Well, they call it firearm injury and mortality prevention research, but what they're actually studying are things like a firearm retirement age for senior citizens and whether or not gun confiscation laws are effective. There's even one to do telehealth check-ins with pregnant women to see if they're safe, which includes in the description whether or not they have guns at home. So these are violations. Just seeing if trying to prevent people from having guns at home, that's a violation of the DC v. Heller decision. So there's a lot of problems with this gun control research. And actually, the text of the next government funding bill, which was released at 2:30 this morning, has another $25 million to add to that research. So essentially, Congress is ignoring that vote on the Mary Miller Meeks Amendment from November, and they're saying we're going to fund this gun control research anyway. So huge problem. I would call your congressman if you're listening and tell them, hey, you already voted against this. Make sure it's included in the final bill. But I mean, I doubt it. I think the swamp is unfortunately going to have its way with our tax dollars.
I didn't see it in the text of the minibus today. So the money that's moving today through Congress, it didn't look like it's in there unless I missed it.
Oh, it's in what's called an explanatory statement. So there's 1,000 pages of the bill, and then there's a dozen other joint statements, and those authorize things. And if you look at the details there, there's $12.5 million for CDC and $12.5 for NIH.
The funding's there, but not the Miller-Meeks rider, yeah. Really pretty remarkable. All right, last one I think is one. We had this on the Just the News, and it was one of the most popular stories that we had on the site last week. A judge has ruled that legal immigrants have gun rights protected by the Second Amendment. I don't think a lot of people saw this coming. What's behind this, and what's Gun Owners of America thinking about it?
Well, there's a pretty absurd decision, as you mentioned, that an Obama judge in Illinois ruled that illegal immigrants have a Second Amendment right to own and carry firearms around. I think that everyone has the right to self-defense. If you're walking around on the street in an alley and someone tries to mug you or attack you or whatever, then you have a right to self-defense. But the Second Amendment protects the right of the people to keep and bear arms. And there's a lot of constitutional law that's already been decided about who constitutes the people regarding other parts of the Constitution. And it's pretty clear that illegal immigrants, those people who are unlawful in this country, aren't a part of the people. And I think that's really important for people to understand when they look at this judge's ruling. I also think it's extremely hypocritical that if you are an American, if you're a law-abiding citizen in Illinois, then the state wants you to get a firearm owner ID card, go through a background check, get fingerprints in order to purchase a firearm. And then if you wanted to carry that firearm, you would also have to get a concealed carry license, which until recently they didn't issue to everyone who was lawfully eligible. But here we have an illegal immigrant who a federal judge thinks has a right to carry without any of that.
Yeah. Where is this going to go now? This will go to the appellate level, I assume. Will Gun Owners of America intervene?
I think that every gun group is going to have to reckon with this. And there's not going to be many cases with judges making these kinds of ridiculous rulings. But it's going to be appealed. And I think we're going to have to get involved. So our attorneys are looking very closely at this and trying to use the Supreme Court's Bruin test that a gun law to be constitutional has to comport with the text and the historical tradition of our nation's founding. But I highly doubt that either anywhere in between the text or our nation's history, we're going to find anything that says illegal immigrants or people who are invading our country have a right to carry a firearm.
Yeah, that's really something. One last one, because people continue to talk about it. I think a very important ruling, almost 6 weeks ago, I guess. A federal judge in California ruled that it was unconstitutional to require background checks on ammunition. This is the new backdoor way that a lot of gun control legislation is trying to come through. This was an important ruling in Gun Owners of America right in the middle of it, right?
Absolutely. And this is a sane legal decision from a good judge, saying that, background checks for ammunition is not okay. You do not have to ask the government permission to exercise your right. And that is what a background check is. You have to fill out a form, you have to give them an ID, and you have to wait until someone approves your background check in order to buy ammunition or even to purchase a firearm and be able to exercise your right to keep and bear arms. So, I mean, that's great. these things are totally unconstitutional, and we'll see them pop up more and more, because if you can't you can't shoot a firearm without ammunition. So it's very smart of the anti-gunners to be attacking our access to ammunition. And that's why we're defending on that level every way we can.
Yeah, very, very important. And it is the back door that a lot of this regulation has been coming through. Aiden, it's always an honor to have you on. For folks who want to stay in touch, particularly with your alerts, you have, I think, some of the best news alert systems anywhere in the country. What's the best way for people to get engaged with Gun Owners of America, GOA?
Yeah, so I mean, I highly recommend that you go to gunowners.org and you just subscribe to our action alerts. We have over 2 million members and activists that follow that. And we like to teach people, show people, hey, here's what's going on in your state capital or at the federal level, and send you an alert so you can tell your congressman and your elected representatives, hey, don't do that, or hey, do support this pro-gun measure. So just by joining our free action alert system on gunowners.org, that's the best thing you can do. Otherwise, you could become a member and help actually support our work. I recommend both. I think you should support our work, and I think that you should be an activist and defend your own rights on your own.
Yeah, listen, there's nothing like controlling your own destiny, and that's one of the most important things that our founding fathers gave us that opportunity for. Folks, go to check it out today, goa.com, really an amazing place. I get lots of great news from there all the time. Aiden, great honor to have you on. We're going to need to keep a close eye on all of these developments. Be sure to get you back on real soon.
All right. Thank you so much.
Yeah, great honor. Thank you, sir. All right, one more good one to go. Alfonso Aguilar, man, who's got his finger on the pulse of why so many Hispanic voters say they're leaving the Democratic Party and coming towards the Republicans, coming towards Donald Trump. This is a dynamic showing up in all of the polls. No matter what poll you look at, you see it. It's got Democrats panicked and Republicans excited. Alfonso Aguilar is going to give us the skinny on what's going on. What issues are moving those Hispanic voters? We'll have that right after these messages.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back, everybody. A video went viral that showed a group of illegal immigrants apparently forcing their way across the border in El Paso, Texas, barreling through the fencing and knocking down Texas National Guard members. Joining us now to talk about this video and the latest at the southern border is Alfonso Aguilar. He serves as the Director of Hispanic Outreach for the American Principles Project. Alfonso, thanks so much for joining us.
How you doing, guys? Happy to be with you.
Happy.
We are happy to have you. And I want to get to that video in a moment, but I want to start with polling because, you know, I'm here in Southern California, a lot of Hispanics here in Southern California, and we have seen Hispanics across the country trending towards the Republican Party and Donald Trump specifically. I know that there have to be hot spots where that is happening even more. Explain to us why that happened.
Well, we can't underestimate it. This is a major realignment in American politics. And I think the main reason is that assimilation is still happening in America. Just like the Irish and Italian 100 years ago, initially they were voting for the Democrats, but now they're assimilating. And instead of following groupthink, they are actually thinking for themselves. And those who were who are conservative and were still voting for the Democrats are saying, I'm going to vote Republican. I'm going to vote for people who support conservative positions. And then we're starting to see the rise of Hispanic swing voters. So as assimilation happens, we're seeing Hispanics vote like average Americans, and they're terrified with the Biden administration, not only because of the economy, they're seeing high prices at the supermarket, in housing, they're disproportionately affected by Biden's economic policies, but then the cultural issues are as important as the economic issues. They're terrified by the woke agenda, you know, allowing kids to have access to hormone therapies and to same-sex surgeries, you know, critical race theory. They came here because of the American dream. They don't want to be told that America's a racist country. They've seen racism in their home countries. That's why they came here. And then finally, you just show those images of lawlessness at the border. That's what they've seen in their home countries. That's why they came here. To for the rule of law. They don't want to see that lawlessness at the borders or in their communities. They're starting to see Venezuelan gang members in their communities. They don't want that. They are proud Americans, and they're fed up with the pandering of Democrats.
Yeah, it is remarkable. So I want to ask a little bit about what Republicans and conservatives need to do to more effectively engage. The tectonic plates of politics are shifting. There's no doubt about it. Sometimes Republicans don't always talk to and with the very constituencies that are trying to come to them. What's the best advice you have to make sure that engagement is meaningful and that this transition is a long-term transition?
You know, that is the key question, because we can't assume that what we're seeing in the polls is going to translate into the ballot box.
Right.
So it's a very, very simple suggestion. Show up in the community, show up in Spanish language media. We don't need special messages. We don't need to say si se puede or anything like that. We just have to show up with a conservative message. If we engage them, they're going to respond favorably. You know, Ronald Reagan used to say Hispanics are Republican. They just don't know it. And he didn't mean that in a condescending way. It means that if we engage them, they'll respond. Right now, we're winning them over because we're winning the battle of ideas. But in an election, as you know, Democrats are very good and they have the money to mobilize their people. You were just talking about the elections, right? They're good at going grassroots, mobilizing their people. We have to do the same with Hispanics, and that requires time, money, effort, and we're ready to do it. And I think that if we do it, we will win Hispanics or get a significant percentage of the Hispanic vote to ensure that President Trump and Republicans win national office.
You mean Jill Biden out there butchering si se puede didn't work? That is just remarkable. I wanted to ask you about a video that I saw recently, and I don't think that it is anomalous. It was an illegal immigrant who came here, I think, when he was 5 or 6 years old. But he's an illegal immigrant. And he said that he was voting for Trump. We've always known that legal immigrants definitely trend towards Republicans. But is that true? Is it now illegal immigrants as well?
Did you guys see that video of Trump touring the border and the illegal immigrants were waving at him from Mexico, from the Mexican side? Hey, Trump! You know, I think there's something about Trump, his charisma and his ideas. I really think it's not only his charisma, but his ideas connect with people, even with people who are illegally in the country. It's incredible. They see us a leader who's fighting for a country, for what America is all about. And that's what attracts immigrants here. So even illegal immigrants who came here for the American dream like Trump, because he's the defender of the American dream. When you hear the rhetoric from Democrats is that, you know, if you're Hispanic, they racialize you immediately, you're brown, you're going to be discriminated. They don't want to hear that. That's what, again, they heard in their home countries. That's what they saw in their home countries. They come here because they want to be part of the country and be fully American. That's not what they're hearing from Biden and the Democrats.
All right, folks, that wraps up another edition of John Solomon Reports, a podcast from Just the News. A big thank you to Mike Benz, Aidan Johnston, and Alfonso Aguilar. Three great conversations about three issues that are on the forefront of many Americans thinking right now. So a big thank you. Remember, if you want to go support Alliance Defending Freedom, ADF.com/John. That's where you go to make a donation. All right, we'll be back tomorrow with another edition of John Solomon Reports. We should have a good scoop on the impeachment front. We'll have that in a little bit. Until then, God bless you and have a great evening.